Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're bringing our discussion of dealing with our emotions to a conclusion, at least for a time, by talking about dealing with anger at God. People get angry at God because they believe he's let them down in some way. If only God had not let this happen. If only God would have done this or wouldn't have done that. And we're making the point that anger at God is a huge faith destroyer. We get angry at people because we think they've done us wrong. Well, you can't trust someone you think has or will do you wrong. So we need to correct the source of anger at God. Anger at God comes from a misunderstanding of some basic facts about reality. Anger at God comes from lack of knowledge of what God is like. Many wrongly believe that God is behind or approving of life's trials and hardships. God is never the source of your troubles, either directly or indirectly. God is good, and good means good. Good, used in reference to God, means what you and I understand the word to mean. Now, we could do weeks of lessons on this topic, answering, I know some of your minds, I know exactly what questions are rising up in your mind. I wrote a whole book to deal with it. You can go to our website and order a copy, or you can call our radio line and order a copy from us to get those questions answered. It's important that you know that God is not the source of your troubles ever. We left off saying just one point. Jesus, who is God and shows us God, never caused or allowed a sickness, a trial, a test, a calamity, etc. in anyone's life during his years on earth. Therefore, we know God the Father doesn't do it either. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I do his works and I speak his words by his power in me. In fact, I only do what I see my Father do. Anger at God comes from a lack of knowledge of the nature of life in a world damaged by sin. Troubles are here because of sin, beginning with Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. His sin had a cataclysmic effect on the human race and on all of creation. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all. The Living Bible says all things began to grow old and die. Romans 5:19 says that through one man's sin, Adam's sin, men were made sinners. The earth was corrupted. Death infused the earth. And a sin nature was created in men. We live in a fallen world with corrupted natural processes. Because of sin, because of Adam's sin, we live in a fallen world with corrupted natural processes that produce killer storms and natural disasters. God doesn't do it. That's life in a sin-cursed earth. We live in a world populated by people born with sin natures who are ruled over by the devil. Between the corrupted natural processes in this earth that produce killer storms and natural disasters, moths and rust corrupt, and between the people who are have really the nature of the devil, sin natures, and are ruled over by him, all of this produces great chaos and heartache in the earth. And God, in his sovereignty, has given men free will. Men really do have free will. God, in his sovereignty, has chosen to limit himself to men's free will choices. With free will comes not only the choices, but all the consequences of those choices. God doesn't stop either the choices or the consequences of the free will choices of men. And that's what causes much of the calamity of life, the calamities of life in this world. I mean, if taxes go up, you got to pay them, even if the government is totally corrupt and filled with immoral people. You reap the consequences of their choices. If a drunk driver speeds down the highway and crashes and you're in the line of fire, you reap the consequence of his choice. That's life in a sin-cursed earth. Now, That probably made some people cringe right there. Does that mean we don't have protection? Not at all. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But I want you to understand, in a sin-cursed earth, bad stuff happens. See, anger at God comes from not understanding what God is working to accomplish in this world. God's number one goal right now is not to make life in this fallen world pleasant. His number one goal is not to give you the best life possible. That's nowhere in Scripture. That's a concoction of modern 20th century American Christianity. God's number one goal right now is not to make life in this fallen world pleasant, but rather to draw men back to Him so that they are not lost for eternity. A wonderful life in this life is meaningless if you end up in hell for eternity. God is much more interested in you coming to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than He is in you having a big car and a mansion and a cushy life on this earth. See, think about it. It was in the pig pen where the prodigal son experienced the consequences of his sin that he woke up and repented of his sin and came back to Father's house. Did his father like the fact that he was in the pig pen? Of course not. His father wished that the son would have come to his senses way before he got to that point. But thank God he came to that point, because that's what brought him to his senses and brought him back to Father's house. And see, you recall the parable of the prodigal son was told by Jesus to show the response of heaven to a lost sinner who comes home. God doesn't make life easy in the pig pen, not because He doesn't love us, not because He doesn't care about us, but because the consequences of life in the pig pen is the only thing that wakes a lot of people up so that they come to saving knowledge of Jesus and aren't lost for eternity. I have a second book that goes into great detail about that. It's called Why Did This Happen and What Is God Doing? You can call us and order that, or you can go to the website and order it. See, we need knowledge of these things because we wrongly blame God. We get mad at Him, and He's not bothered. It doesn't hurt Him, but it hurts us. It hurts us. You can't trust someone you think has wronged you. See, you have to understand, God uses the choices of men, both good choices and bad ones. He's so big that He's able to use choices that He did not cause, choices which He does not approve of, and cause them to serve His plan to have a family of holy, righteous sons and daughters. And as He does so, He works good out of evil as He brings maximum glory to Himself and maximum good to as many people as possible. I could do whole lessons on all of this, but it comes back to seeing reality as it truly is. There's more to reality than just this moment. Eternity is ahead, and the most important thing is that people come to saving knowledge of His Son. Will He put off short-term blessing in your life for long-term eternal results? Actually, He will. Now, that's a whole can of worms for another day, but I wrote a whole book to explain it, and we'll discuss some of it in upcoming lessons. But our point now is anger at God comes from misunderstanding what God is doing in the earth. You may recall that Peter betrayed Jesus the night before He was crucified. And we discussed a couple weeks ago how he undoubtedly felt anger at himself for letting Jesus down. And he may have been mad at God, because here's Jesus arrested and being crucified. Peter could have been thinking, how could God let this happen to His own son? Or I should have talked Jesus out of going to Bethlehem or to Jerusalem in the first place. You may recall in Matthew 16, Peter did exactly that. He tried. Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter piped up and said, oh, I'll never let that happen. And Jesus whipped around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things which be of God, but the things which be of man. Moffat's translation says, your outlook is not God's, but man's. You look at things not as God does, but as man does. Jesus rebuked that. Now, he realized the devil was trying to work through Peter to get Peter to talk Jesus and out of going to the cross. But, excuse me, after Jesus was raised from the dead and explained to Peter from the Scriptures what had happened and why, Peter's whole perspective was changed. In Acts chapter 2, he preaches the first sermon of the church on the day of Pentecost. And let me read verse 22 through 24. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, he being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death." Peter preached, hey, you guys, wicked men with wicked hands, crucified the Lord of glory, but God knew what you were going to do, and he beat you at your own game. He made Jesus a sacrifice for the sins of the world. See, God didn't orchestrate the crucifixion of Jesus. I don't know if you realize that or not. Wicked men inspired by Satan did so. Luke 22:3 says Satan entered Judas's heart, and he went out and betrayed Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 7, Jesus said, "Now is the hour that the prince of this world has power." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 said, "Had the princes of this world known what the Lord was going to do, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory." The devil didn't realize that God was going to make Jesus a sacrifice for sin. As he hung on the cross, he laid the sins of the world on him. God, in his all-knowingness, knew before the world began what these wicked men inspired by Satan would do, and he wove it into his plan to redeem men from bondage to sin, Satan, corruption, and death. God beat the devil at his own game, and he brought genuine good out of real evil. The murder of the innocent Son of God was real evil. See, we don't think of the cross that way because we know the end result. But that's exactly the point. God was able to take genuine evil, a wicked act inspired by wicked men, inspired by the devil, who with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. God is so big and so powerful that he wove it into his plan and brought genuine good out of it, the greatest good ever accomplished by anything, the salvation of mankind. Peter came to see why God didn't stop the crucifixion, and why he had no reason to be angry at God. See, that's the point I'm trying to make. We don't have all the pieces yet. I don't, you don't. But this is where, if we know God is good and good means good, we can rest that it's all going to work out right. Peter came to see why God didn't stop the crucifixion and why he had no reason to be angry at God. God doesn't stop men from making free will sinful choices because they have free will. He sees how to use those choices and cause them to serve his purposes as he gathers his family for eternity. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.